Showtime.
The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong.
Yeah, it's definitely showtime. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Debate Center. I'm your host, Mike Dendero. I got my other two hosts here. But before we get into all that, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day. You know, everyone's Irish on this day. I'm Irish. You know, everyone's Irish. But happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody watching. I'm definitely feeling lucky today because I'm joined by two of my favorite people in the world. First, my homie right here on my left, your right, or whatever it is. I don't know. But it is my man's, the notorious D.O.M. from the top of Wrestling Talk, the South Philly Psycho, Dom is in the building. What up?
And if you can't say it all, just say D.O.S. Only this playing for him, too, because he loves ECW, so fuck it. Exactly.
And we also got Mr. Fuck Coca-Cola, Mr. OnlyFans, Mr. Big Valvosky of the Debate Center. My man, Pepsi Phil. What up?
Yep.
Let me take my title off.
First, I had a successful 316. Now it's St. Patrick's Day.
And of course, of course, the host of this shindig, man. Who takes you back in time? He brings you from then to now, hopefully forever. The one and only, as seen on Sirius XM, on the Wrestling Glory, Total Nonstop, DeLiro, De Niro, etc., etc. My main man, 50 grand, Mike De Niro. Oh, yeah, we're going to run that.
We're going to run the whole thing.
It's just going to stay on loop throughout the episode. We're just going
to
be like,
we're going to just have to talk over it.
All things, y'all. We're tough in the hood till the wolves come. Bitches let it drink in the club till the wolves come. Surrounded by the sheep in the street till the wolves come.
Everyone strip on the floor. We the wolves done. Or are we getting can't copyright shine on this? I fucking own it. So
yeah,
play it all you want. In the darkness. Oh, you the wolf till we pull up and you're harmless.
Fuck you, UMG.
Yeah, or exactly. So, this is the Debate Center. You know how it goes. We have a couple topics we're going to talk about today. Starting off with the first topic, a topic that was, you know, it was made official this past Friday on SmackDown. We're going to be having a triple threat for the United States Champion at WrestleMania for the United States Champion. It's going to be the Randy Orton versus Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens. Is this a good move or a bad move? Dom, let me hear from you first. I know you hate Logan Paul. I know you wanted Logan Paul probably nowhere near WrestleMania, but especially nowhere near this title. So is this a good move or bad move, especially going into the biggest show of the year for the WWE?
I can confirm and can't deny that everything he just said is true. Mm-hmm. I didn't want Logan Paul anywhere near it. I was mad that he kind of screwed Randy at the Chamber, but at least I thought that's leading us into Randy versus Logan Paul at Mania. And at that point, it felt like daddy taking his douchebag son to the woodshed. Like, oh, okay, let's fucking go. And then they put Kevin Owens in it. And I love Kevin Owens. I do. But I said it last week, and I've always had this opinion about WrestleMania. When it is a title match at WrestleMania, it needs to be one-on-one. This is the grandest stage of them all. This is where, like, wrestling gods get together and throw down. This is the same place we had Hogan and Andre, Savage and Steamboat, you know, all the classic one-on-one epic title matches. And now we got this triple threat. And I know Kevin kind of got screwed in his match with Logan Paul. At the same time, you screwed yourself. You could have dropped them nucks and stunned him. You didn't. You screwed yourself. So get back in it later. You know what? Get Randy at WrestleMania, or I mean at SummerSlam. I'm fine with that. But all of a sudden now we got, yeah, this heated rivalry boils to a head at WrestleMania. And Kevin Owens is like, and I'm here too. Fuck. Now all of a sudden Kevin Owens is the middle child. Like, no, daddy, don't hurt him like that. Here's how you hurt him.
What's your thoughts on the stutter RKO combination move that they did on Austin Theory on Friday Night SmackDown?
I mean, I don't hate Austin Theory as much as Logan Paul, but I'm hoping it happens to him regardless. It was kind of dope. It was kind of dope. It's not as good as like the old DX Sweet Chin Music into the Pedigree, but it was close. That's like top. That's like top A number one. Right below it somewhere is that RKO Stunner.
Nah, most definitely. All right, Pepsi Phil, good move or bad move?
It's a move. I can't really say if it's good or bad. Truth be told, it's a move. I'm not so married to the idea of one-on-one at WrestleMania. I do understand your point, though. I guess the issue I have is that unfortunately, when you scratch the surface, yeah, it's a good match. The problem is that look at Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Do they need to win a U.S. title? This feels like a match just to put Logan Paul over. Like, if you have Logan Paul beat Randy Orton, what is he, like 12, 14-time world champion?
Kevin Owens, I think he's like 14 or 15, 14. Yeah.
Yeah. 14. And then you got, like, Kevin Owens, who's at least, what, multiple times heavyweight champion? Multiple times tag team champion?
Oh, you had the indies, if you want to talk about PWG.
That's what I'm saying, throwing the rest of those, yeah.
Oh, Nick must know Pepsi Phil well, because happy Swag Day. Hell yeah!
Thank you, Nick. But yeah, but the thing is, though, honestly, these two guys wearing a belt means nothing to me. Like, do they need it? No. Is it to put Logan Paul over? Probably. Which makes me think he's going to win at Mania, which is just going to piss me off even more. But I think that's what they want. Maybe it's a big push to pretty much have him lose it at SummerSlam. But for me right now, this match, as soon as the match was announced, I was like, yeah, they're going to let Logan Paul win this one. I mean, it might be different, but seriously, who would you want to see with a U.S. title? Can you see Randy with a U.S. title? Maybe Kevin, but like Dom said, he like the middle child. Whose pretty much only job is just to pretty much be there to be the peacemaker and the go-between. And a transition move, and probably the one who takes the pin. So
I totally agree with that. I think that this is a bad move. I mean, if you weren't married to the idea of Randy Orton versus Logan Paul, then you should have just scrapped the storyline, not go there in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. So you throw Kevin Owens in here so he could take the fall, right? Because there's no way you have Logan Paul beat Randy Orton clean. And there's no way I see WWE taking the title off of Logan Paul right now when it's still kind of early in the title run, especially with the type of press that they're getting for Logan Paul. And then right now you got Jake Paul going against Mike Tyson in the summer for on Netflix. So the Paul brothers right now have a lot of hype. So I don't think that they are necessarily going to be taking the title away from Paul anytime soon. I could see it going down at SummerSlam. But yeah. Kevin Owens is 100% in this matchup just to be the fall guy. In that case, I think it's a little predictable, and that's why I say this is a bad move.
And I got to say, to Yuman's question, I don't think LA Knight's really in limbo. I think that story with AJ is right now, but it'll pick back up going into WrestleMania. And yeah. he might be the guy that takes out Logan Paul at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. The U.S. title would be a good thing for him too, dude. So
that's the hope. That's the hope. But the problem
is, you got a little psycho in you, Human.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that basically means that we're going to have to sit through a match where Logan Paul is going to act like he just wrestled the best match of his life. And I'm going to sit there and go, bruh, even for a program match, you were still terrible.
You're still a douche is going to be my final thought.
I mean, I tell everyone the same thing. Like, is he athletic? Yeah. Has he picked this up a lot faster? The problem is he's a terrible storyteller. And it's not technically his fault. It's like he brand new. He don't know about storytelling. Shit, you grew up on YouTube. What the fuck do you know about storytelling? No offense to YouTube.
I grew up in Puerto Rico, remember? No, I'm playing.
That's a good point.
Like, until he learns a decent storytelling, because that match against Kevin Owens is a perfect example. Kevin Owens had a broken foot and did not even look like it. And literally watching Logan Paul fight him, it was like, Logan, have you even heard of a sale? Literally, I'm sitting there going, just go to Costco and look for a sale, brother. Just look for something.
That's my main seen Logan Paul since day one. I think that when it comes to selling, he doesn't sell, nor does he let things breathe. He's too quick to go to the next spot instead of letting just things breathe. And yeah, we all know that this matchup is probably going to end with Randy Orton hitting the RKO on Kevin Owens. Logan Paul pushes Randy Orton out the ring or some shit, steals the pin. It's too predictable. So definitely a bad move.
The thing I always say about Logan Paul is it's one thing to be book smart. It's another thing to be street smart. And Logan Paul is the example of book smart. He knows all the moves and how to execute them. He doesn't know any of the street side of the game, any of that mental shit, any of that shit that comes with experience. He knows the other side. That's it. Mm-hmm. He is one dimensional.
So there's only been one man in the history of wrestling who picked it up within 2 seconds of jumping in the ring, and that was Kurt Angle.
I was going to say Kurt.
Kurt, he came out. He immediately knew how to wrestle. He knew how to sell, and he knew all that. Like, there was honestly, there isn't anyone else I can say who picked it up as quickly as he did. And Logan Paul could learn a thing or two from Kurt Angle. Like, literally, I'd be like Kurt Scott going, bro, you did it in 2 seconds. How do you do that?
Like, no, honestly, for sure.
This honestly, it surprises me. The dude's got WWE. It ain't like he ain't got access to legends. It ain't like it. Every 5 minutes you look at his goddamn show, he's got somebody on there. You think off camera he'd be like, teach me to be a better wrestler.
He's being trained by Shawn Michaels, who is probably the best seller and best storyteller in wrestling history.
Exactly.
Ask Bryan Danielson what kind of trainer Shawn Michaels is. Okay.
100%.
So, like I said,
not blame the heartbreak kid. Blame the student, not the teacher.
But I mean, that's the thing that bothers me. Like, he comes out like he's like been wrestling, like he's gifted to wrestling. I'm like, I don't think you know what wrestling is, man. Like, you got the body for it, you got the skills for it, but
hey, I mean, if you think so, JP, like I
you
said,
allowed, you allowed, man.
More power to you, JP.
Enjoy wrestling. He's not my cup of tea, so I just don't drink him. But you do you.
Like, we're not debating his athletic skill.
No.
We're just debating his storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go. We're staying on the topic of WrestleMania weekend here because we're going from WrestleMania to probably the night before and talking about the WWE Hall of Fame. There was already a couple of big names announced for the Hall of Fame. I want to talk about potential Hall of Famers for this year. Remember, WrestleMania taking place in Philadelphia. There is a whole company that's based out of Philadelphia. Just ask my man, the South Philly Psycho, right here. Mm-hmm. And you could put a bunch of names that deserve to be in that spot who have still yet to have a Hall of Fame induction. You know, I'm going to keep my names to last. So let's go with Pepsi Phil. Who are your potential names for the Hall of Fame this year?
Truth be told, with ECW being sucked in WWE, which means they actually get paid. I mean, because here's the thing. If Rob Van Dam wasn't still under a pseudo contract under AEW, I'd pick him.
But Is he in already? He's in.
Yeah. You are disqualified, sir.
I am.
All right, my turn.
Nah, I'm joking.
Truth be told, honestly, I mean,
I'm still laughing.
I'd like Joey. Honestly, this would sound terrible, but I'd like Joey Styles to get put in.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd like Joey Styles to get put in.
Long time coming.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Joey Styles would be great. Like, the voice of ECW is him. And the fact that he doesn't bring up
his
much.
Pipe bomb on WWE programming was just as good as CM Punk's.
Exactly.
I don't care what nobody says.
Right now, everyone who I'd like to get into it right now are like either retired, because there's a part of me that would kill to have Raven put in it. Like, I would kill to see Raven put in. And honestly, he's floating around and no one gives him enough credit. Somebody on one thread said Kidman. I'm like, what?
Get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
Christian ain't even in it. You want to put Kidman?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's going to be a...
I'm sorry. I had a psycho moment. I'm sorry.
It's a hot take.
I mean, it is a hot take. But honestly, those are the only two I can really think about. Because honestly, since they have a pseudo weird relationship, there is a part of me that if I did Tommy Dreamer definitely deserves to be in there. I mean, truth be told, if it was up to me, if you're not going to put Tommy Dreamer in, you make him the one who introduces Paul. Like, there is no one else.
I think that's a given.
Like, if it's gotten, like, if you're not gonna put Tommy in this year, then shit. I mean, I'd have him be the one who does the speech for him. I mean,
I like that.
So those are the three big names I can come up with who are viable options. Okay. I mean, if I go on my dream, I was like, I want Sandman to be in it. Shit.
I mean, there's a strong possibility the Sandman DLC now for the WWE 2K24.
Exactly.
Oh, why? Because he can't wrestle.
And on top of that, they're making a new Sandman action figure.
Exactly. WWE. I'm like,
so they show Sandman some love off Sunday.
He's a grandpa now, so
it comes with word.
He has a whole podcast. Like, come on. Not the Sandman. I know Dom ain't the biggest Sandman fan, but I love the Sandman.
I love the Sandman, but to be fair, the man cannot fucking wrestle.
So can't have to fucking.
First of all, we didn't love Sandman for his wrestling.
No.
So
here, man.
Sandman had two. Like, remember, Bret Hart said there are three things that make you great in wrestling. All you need is two out of three of them: a personality, your ability to tell a story in the ring, and wrestling ability.
Are you kidding? I love Sandman because I would be in the bingo hall smoking a cigarette and holding a beer that I wasn't old enough to drink as he was coming down next to me while holding a beer and smoking a cigarette.
Like, dude, I can't even imagine a Sandman speech. Yow! Yow! Yow, Zach,
Mommy!
I'd be like, dear Lord, don't let him come out with a can of beer, please.
Oh, and as always, shouts to D-Man and
Yo Dog,
Holy Wrestling Television on Facebook, and my man Jay. Y'all keep doing.
Truth be told, those are guys I want to see. Like, Sandman, I think Wood is a hard stretch that I don't think they let him go.
It's a big stretch. It's a big stretch. Even D-Man agreed with Joey Styles, Phil.
Yeah,
and I do too. I agree with pretty much everybody you said that is the Sandman, like Raven, Tommy Dreamer. Mm-hmm. You know, the Dudleys are already there. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think
I can always put in Public Enemy.
Oh God, no! Shut your damn mouth,
Johnny Grunge.
So, you know who they? I mean, obviously, I brought up Christian. I don't think that's going to happen because we all know where he is right now.
Yeah,
yeah. I'd love to see Christian go into the Hall of Fame. I think we got a better chance of a snowball surviving in hell. WWE is basically like.
Go fuck yourself.
I mean, the other problem is that Christian's doing some of the best work he has done in almost 10 years, and he just came back off retirement and doing that shit. So
Yeah. But there are a couple of ECW names that come to mind. Well, one's ECW. Actually, they kind of both are, but one really sucked in WWE, mm-hmm. and the other one made an impact. The two names that come to mind are, first and foremost, the franchise, not Dean. The franchise, Shane Douglas. Okay.
Yeah.
ECW is a part of WWE, then he should be in their Hall of Fame for everything he did for ECW. He laid the foundation. Yep.
And not to cut you off, Dom, but you know Triple H holds a pretty high seat in the WWE's, you know, rankings. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to you on a show where you came on and we did an ECW review that Triple H in the 2000s stole 99% of his whole gimmick from the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Chef. Happy St. Patty's Day to you, too. Dude,
I
start, like, pinching Pepsi Phil because he didn't wear no goddamn green. I don't know what's up with him.
You can tell you, if you feel a froggy, jump.
What, do I got to pay $3.99 to pinch you?
You're going to have to pay a whole lot more than that, brother. But, yeah.
But so, the other name that comes to mind that it has for a long time, and I don't believe he's there. I could be wrong. It's kind of been a long weekend, so forgive me if I am, but Bam Bam Bigelow.
Mm-hmm. That's mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He should have been in the Hall of Fame long ago. I mean, he's got like maybe the second biggest celebrity match in WWE history with Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, the only one bigger was like Hulk Hogan and Mr. T, and they teamed up. So, you know, he's got the biggest one-on-one celebrity match. He's the reason that guys like Logan Paul and Bad Bunny and all come through the door today, because Bam Bam Bigelow made Lawrence Taylor look that damn good at mm-hmm. WrestleMania. And then if you go to what he did in ECW, I mean, it's a clincher. It's mm-hmm. a fucking clincher. The man was amazing. I know Vader is in, and that's well deserved. But where's Bam Bam? Like, fuck, man. Bam Bam should have made it before Vader. He did more for WWE. There. Yeah. I said it.
I agree. Yeah. Honestly, I thought Bam Bam was already in, truth be told.
Nah, yeah, he's been getting snubbed every year.
Human asked, what's the criteria for the Hall of Fame? Is JB Noble a Hall of Fame? He is not.
He is not. He's in the back, though. He's still in the back, though, isn't he?
Oh, Temple. Thank you for showing up, buddy. You had a great live stream last night. I'm sorry I was falling asleep during it, or I might have actually joined you.
I'm sorry I slept right through it. I didn't even know you was announcing it. I got three pings from Temple going, and I woke up this morning going, shit.
No, I got the pings in bed. I was like, oh shit, Temple. Oh. Right, I listened to it for a little bit before I passed out. It was good though. It was damn good.
So
yeah, those are really my, you know, Christian, Bam Bam, and the franchise.
Honestly, I'd be curious to see if they do Virgil.
It could be.
I mean, but the thing is, if they do Virgil, they probably have to, well, we'll get to that part later. But like the other one who passed away. So
yeah. You know what, D-Man? Taz is another great one.
Yeah, exactly.
I know he's in AEW with Christian, but
he put a lot of work in for WWE.
Yeah, I mean, in ring, he didn't do much for WWE, but he was a hell of an announcer. And then everything he did for ECW again.
Mm-hmm.
And no, New Jack is not in the WWE. I don't think he ever will be, but he's in my Hall of Fame because I'm a psycho. He's in the psycho wing of the Hall of Fame.
I don't know, man. I think New Jack right now has reached legendary status that honestly, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be.
Like, if it's going to be a true wrestling Hall of Fame, here's the question: is it a Hall of Fame, or is it WWE's Hall of Fame, or is it a wrestling Hall of Fame?
It's got to be a wrestling Hall of Fame. Abdullah the Butcher's in it. He's never been in the WWE.
Yeah, that's my thing. So the New Jack
had like a cup of coffee at WWE.
Unfortunately, Luger and
Temple is saying Lex Luger. Is he in? I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think Lex Luger is in either.
He's in, but he wasn't in WWE that long, truth be told.
I mean, at least he had a run there as like the narcissist. Then he was the All American, and he body slammed Yokozuna.
Yeah, but if Abdullah the Butcher is in and he's never been in the WWE, then Lex Luger deserves to be in for all the shit outside of the WWE. You know,
Midnight Express is a great one.
He's already in. They're already in. It was Rock and Roll.
You're thinking of the Rock and Roll Express.
No. The reason why is because Jim Cornette introduced the Rock and Roll Express. But the problem is that the problem with the Midnight Express is no one knows which version of the Midnight Express to put in. Like, fucking put all of them.
It's like when they put the Freebirds in, they put them all in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't just put like P.S. Hayes and Jimmy and like Terry Bam Bam or Jimmy Garvin. They put them all.
Stan Lane wasn't with WWE. Was it Stan? No? Yeah, Bobby Eaton was, but I think. Mm-hmm. I forget which one of them didn't make it over to the WWE. They had to switch them over. Yeah.
Stan didn't go to WWE.
Yeah. So I think that's the question. Like me personally, I'd have the entire Midnight Express get put in.
Me too.
Just because period. But honestly, Bobby Eaton should be in by himself. I don't care what anyone said.
I wouldn't mind that either.
But I'm a huge Bobby Eaton fan. Like I'm like legitimately, I'm one of the few people that actually rooted for Midnight Express over Rock and Roll Express.
You know what, though? Now I feel bad because we're getting the chat's answers. We're getting everybody's answers. We haven't heard from De Niro yet.
Exactly.
There's still a name in my head.
You said
I'm going to save that because I don't want to kill De Niro's momentum. Who do you think should go to the WWE Hall of Fame?
See, in my heart, I definitely think that, and I've seen people saying that it's too soon. Fuck that. It's never too soon, right? In my heart of heart, you got to put in Bray Wyatt this year.
Yeah,
Bray Wyatt has to be put into the Hall of Fame. You know, taken from us way too soon. Mm-hmm. He was on the cusp of a legendary career, and I think that's one of the more like. What here's the thing? Like, I'm not trying to take away from anybody else, right? But we've seen wrestlers get put into the Hall of Fame just because they announced retirement, and then were jumped right into the Hall of Fame. Look at Edge. The same year Edge said he was retiring in 2011. Right, they put him in the Hall of Fame the next year, which is cool. But if you got people like The Rock still waiting, you got people like, you know, Triple H still waiting, people like even a bunch of names, Like, how do you have Edge in between, you know, all that? So I definitely think Bray Wyatt should definitely be in the Hall of Fame this year. If we're talking about ECW and we're talking about having it in Philly, I think that there's a couple big names you could put in there. Starting with one of my favorite ECW wrestlers of all time, Sabu. Sabu should be trained by the original Sheik, had a legendary career, had a stint in pretty much every major wrestling promotion, ECW, WWE, WCW, TNA, had his little cup of coffee in AEW. You know, he's been in every MLW, for Christ's sake. Oh, yeah, he's been in every indie promotion. He's been in XPW. He's been in MLW. He's been in CZW. Like, there is Sabu was in CZW in 2010, and he was also in Evolve. That's when they were doing a lot of work.
Ron Simmons was in, but the APA was never put in.
I thought the APA Bruiser Brody were already in. I swear.
I think Brody is in. Yeah.
I think Ron Simmons is in, but I don't think Bradshaw is in.
I thought they put the APA in, because I swear I remember Bradshaw and Ron Simmons with the beers at the podium.
I think that was for Ron Simmons.
Yeah. Maybe it was.
But yeah,
I'm not mad at that.
I mean, truth be told, I think if Bray doesn't go in this year, I think that's the reason we get the U.S. Express put in. Because you get Mike Rotunda getting put in. No offense to Mike Rotunda. I enjoyed the U.S. Express for what they were. But honestly, I think Mike Rotunda gets mentioned because they may not want to do Bray Wyatt.
You know what? That's good. That's not a bad idea either. Like, put his family in this year and then put him in next year. And let the family induct Bray Wyatt. Let Mike and Barry do it.
So if we're taking Bray Wyatt out of the equation, definitely Sabu. I was definitely going to lean towards Bam Bam Bigelow as well for every reason that you said. The man was involved in one of the best, well, not the best, but one of the biggest celebrity matches in WWE history with Lawrence Taylor, WrestleMania 11, the main event, no less. He main event to WrestleMania, but the shit he did in ECW, becoming the ECW champion, his matches with Taz, his matches with Sabu, that match at the November to Remember 1997 with the franchise Shane Douglas being the biggest gate that ECW ever had. Like, these are big reasons.
Never forget the barbed wire triple threat match, okay? where he literally taped his bicep up to continue the match because it was hanging out.
Yeah, so I definitely think Bam Bam for sure.
I had Sabu bleed on me. True story.
Hey, I went to the doctor the next day and
I was about to say.
Oh yeah. No, I went to the emergency room after the show. Like, I need tests. This is in my blood.
And then, you know what? I definitely got one more, and I think that this is a bit of a reach.
I have a reach myself. I wonder if it's the same one.
It's an ECW reach.
Same. Right? Go ahead.
All right.
Don't bite my tongue. Go ahead.
I think somebody who is extremely, extremely, extremely underrated, somebody who doesn't get his flowers enough, someone who had a legendary career and is one of the best technical wrestlers of all time, and being that we're the impact players of podcasting, Dom, I got to say Lance Storm.
Yes.
Where's Lance Storm's flowers?
I was gonna say. I had two that were kind of reaches, but they were ECW reaches, and they're both Mikes. One is Mikey Whipwreck. That's first Triple Crown champ in ECW history. It did so much more beyond that. The next one, Mike Awesome.
100%. One of the best big men of all time. And you know what? Here's another reach.
One of the most innovative big men of all time. He was Brian Cage and all these guys before all of them.
And you know what? If he wasn't in AEW right now as a backstage agent, I think that a man who deserves his flowers, and this would have been a great opportunity for it, would be the new fucking show, Jerry Lynn. A man who is one of the best wrestlers who never gets any love from any big Hall of Fames like this.
Yes.
So those are my potential picks.
JD, I knew it was you. I just had to give it a minute to let the new name sink in. I'm used to WrestleBread. My bad.
I mean, can we get some love? I ain't got enough room,
but I'll try to bend the knee.
Can we get some Francine love in it, too?
We definitely could get some Francine love.
We got to get Francine into the Hall.
Because I'm just realized we ain't mentioned one woman yet, but Francine, underrated. Literally, that woman could take a bump like no one her business need to be taken. So I do kind of.
If she was running with somebody, that somebody was a big deal.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about women from ECW that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, And it's almost a reach because of how she passed, but you gotta say woman.
You gotta say woman.
Mm-hmm. Legendary
man. There are a lot of women would be one of them. Jazz would be another.
Wait, okay.
No, she started in ECW. I know she went to other places, but she started in a big hall.
She's coming out to Money, Power, Respect by the Locks.
But Francine was always made me laugh, and she was just great. She was great on the mic, and just for no reason, Paul seemed to love her, and I understand why.
Nah, for sure.
That is a good question. Bill Alfonso, he's not a Hall of Famer.
No, unfortunately, he's not. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer in my heart.
Should be.
Exactly. He's
right down the middle.
He should be. And now my mom's not around to complain about the whistle, so let him blow it all he wants.
I mean, honestly, if you wanted to be real specific, I would literally induct Dude Love.
Mm. Okay, Brian, since it's St. Patrick's Day, what are your favorite beers and who are your unluckiest wrestlers of all time? Well, for me, I don't know if you can see it, but Guinness. And it's St. Patty's Day. You see me drinking it at watch-alongs all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. That's my go-to. And unluckiest wrestler of all time, if your last name is Von Erich.
I'm done. I wasn't even going to go there. I was just going to say,
they are the unluckiest family of all time. I love them. They're tremendous talents. And Lord knows Kevin's boys are in Ross and Marshall are amazing wrestlers. And I pray for them every fucking day because that family is cursed.
I think they may have lifted it. So,
I mean, y'all can chime in if you want. That's fine. But that's just my take.
honestly, I was going to pick Buff Bagwell.
Some of that's luck, some of that is self.
That's kind of Sammy Guevara's granddaddy. Just gun foot, blah.
The definition of buff fucked himself, buff fucked himself.
Literally. Buff screwed buff. Exactly.
Because truth be told, from what I'm hearing, like he's still under the impression that JR is the reason he got kicked out of WWE.
Dude, Temple. Anytime Mr. Tanaka and Mike Awesome got together, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like One Night Stand was great, but go back and watch like the other dozen matches from like three promotions.
Temple, go back and watch Hardcore Heavy 1999.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be blown away.
Is Tajiri in?
Nah.
No. Probably should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with Tajiri was overseas, he was amazing. And he did great work.
You are asking all these questions. I don't know. What about Sherry? Is Sherry a Hall of Fame?
I believe Sherry's in.
Sherry is in the Hall of Fame, yeah.
I'm hoping she is because she damn sure deserves to be. Because I know Miss Elizabeth is. And if Miss Elizabeth is in the Hall of Fame, the scary Sherry better be in the goddamn Hall of Fame.
She is. Yeah. They even did a documentary on her under WWE Legends banner.
Alex Riley is the unluckiest wrestler of all time.
I mean, that's not wrong. That's not entirely wrong.
I was going to say Alex Riley. That's funny.
In the spirit of the question, I think Chris Nowitzki would be like, hold my beer. He's pretty fucking unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm sorry. I keep doing it. De Niro, do you have an answer for this question?
Yeah, you know, favorite beer, I'm going to go with Modelo. I mean, I am Hispanic. I am Irish, but I'm also Hispanic. So I'm going to go with Modelo. Most unluckiest wrestler, I'm going to say Mr. Kennedy, Mr. Anderson. I mean, the guy had all the potential in the world, and then, one botched move on Randy Orton, and boom, off the TNA you go.
He kind of fits in that Buff Daddy category, too, if you think about it.
Fair enough. Well, he rubbed the wrong people the wrong way because he got a little too full of himself.
And fun fact, y'all, St. Patrick was actually Italian, and I'm Italian and Irish. There is no better duo to spend St. Patty's Day with than the Impact Players and Podcasting.
But Mr. Kennedy does admit he kind of screwed himself on that one. Because apparently he went out of his way to kind of piss off Triple H on top of the Randy thing. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's a bad
call. Oh, thank you, JD. Yeah, Sherry is. Thank God. That would have you would have heard a psycho rant.
Sherry's it. Word.
All right, let's keep the show going. We're going to talk about the next topic, and that is, has business picked up for WWE and AEW? I'm going to start on this one. I definitely think that business has definitely picked up for both WWE and AEW. Mm-hmm. Of course, WrestleMania season is always the most exciting season for WWE, but right now has a little bit of a special touch to it, especially with The Rock being back. And not just The Rock, but The Rock being the heel and doing all this, you know, Attitude Era-esque heel work, you know, cursing and talking shit and doing shit only the way The Rock could. Brings a lot of excitement to me, at least. Right? Singing again.
Dwayne singing.
But besides The Rock, right? Besides The Rock, of course, and the obvious big story with the Cody finishing his story, I think that, thank you, Dom, for showing off your boy right there.
Oh, you mean this guy?
There's a lot of, maybe besides, you know, the U.S. title, I say that there's a lot of hype and a lot of excitement going into WrestleMania mm-hmm. with a lot of good matches that are being announced now. I'm very excited for Jimmy versus Jay. I'm excited mm-hmm. for Sammy versus Gunther. I'm excited for the tag team title match, ladder match that they're going to have. That's 12 people in the ring with a fucking ladder. That's going to be absolutely insane. So mm-hmm. WWE business is definitely picking up. If you want to talk about the business side of it, I mean, they're doing big deals. They got the Netflix deal, multi-billion dollar deal going on. So definitely business on both the in-ring and off-screen is very well for WWE.
They did finally get Venereal Kink McScumbucket to sell a bunch of his shares. That's business picking up.
About 400 million.
Yeah. Now on AEW side, I got to say that, you know, I talked about it on the Wrestling DeLorean this past Wednesday. Well, Thursday, I mean, AEW has been the most exciting it's been, in my opinion, since 2021. Mm-hmm. The people that they're bringing in and having added to this roster, this already stacked roster, has been nothing but amazing. Will Ospreay was my 2023 Wrestler of the Year. Mm-hmm. Wait, go ahead, Fit.
Bro, I need the t-shirt. Oh,
I need the t-shirt too.
We all do.
Ospreay is the fucking man. And then that's not even where you stop. Bringing in Ospreay would be a big jolt to the roster alone. You bring in, quite frankly, one of the best wrestlers of the last 20 years, and that's Kazuchika Okada. Okada coming in is a huge deal. This was not just another great wrestler from Japan. This was the guy. This wasn't one of the guys. This was the guy. This is the John Cena. This is the Roman Reigns of Japan coming in and joining the AEW roster. Mm-hmm. If that wasn't enough, what we saw this past Wednesday with Mercedes Moné coming in is another huge deal. Not just because of her being in the middle of the women's evolution in WWE, but this is someone with mainstream popularity now. You know, she's on Disney Plus with The Mandalorian. She's had, I think she has a music album coming out soon. She is in the mainstream. We saw her announcing the nominees for, I think, the anime awards a couple weeks ago.
She's at the Crunchyroll Awards ceremony. Yeah. With Megan Thee Stallion.
That's awesome. That's mainstream. And I think that's going to bring.
Is that what you're calling it, human? Is that what you're calling it?
But definitely, you know, Mercedes coming in. Mercedes coming in is a nice jolt to the women's division. Mm-hmm. And I think that brings a lot of mainstream attention to AEW. So, yeah, overall, I think that AEW is about to do better business. I don't know if the ratings are going to go up and down. I think AEW's ratings fluctuates. But if you hear the rumors that AEW is offering higher contracts than what the WWE is offering some of these free agents, then business must be good for AEW. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this right now, on screen, forget off screen, forget the whole business side. On screen, AEW is a lot of fun to watch, is exciting, and I have nothing bad to say about anything that they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm very excited to be a wrestling fan right now. Business is definitely picking up for both companies.
Yeah, I mean, for me, no offense, but for me, this is kind of a dumb question. Because if business doesn't pick up for WWE leading into WrestleMania, they might as well just shut the shit down.
Yeah,
and if every other promotion can't take advantage of that, they might as well too. But they really are getting good. I mean, yeah, the triple threat. You heard me talk about that, and that kind of brought me down. But the rest of the card so far looks amazing. AEW is improving in leaps and bounds. We've talked about it on this show with the production and Mansoor and all that visually, and as far as stories and everything, it's all on the uptick. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the living shit out of it. I didn't think I would enjoy the Bucks and Okada being elite, but that triple pose is fucking art, man. Where he just and then they flex next to him. It just feels right. It feels like it's a better fit than Kenny Omega. I'm sorry, Kenny. I said it. I love you still. But it's just it's like they already had like a bevy of riches, and they added more and somehow improved it, and then put Sasha into that mix. And I don't know what that means for the women's division yet, but if anybody was going to get eyes on it, if anybody was going to get it more televised, if anybody was going to take it to the next level, it's the woman that helped do it in WWE in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, no offense to Saraya, but because you were there too, but you were there to kind of help transition it away from divas. Mm-hmm. And then Sasha and the horsewomen were like, okay, we'll take it from here.
Mm-hmm.
And your neck gave out. So there was that. But Mercedes is that woman. And I'm excited to see where that goes. Like I said, and I know I'm beating a dead horse, but it looked good at big business. That was one night. I need more of that. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to have really two matches, but if you can make women's wrestling feel that relevant every fucking time you come on air, I'm going to be a happy guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was one night, though. Let me see it again and again and again. But it's definitely on the uptick, too. And even these other promotions are hitting hard, so business has definitely picked up. And I'm enjoying the ride so far. And you can call me a Cody crybaby all you want, but The Rock was bullshit, and everybody knew it. Even The Rock knew it. Okay.
Yeah, Dom kind of touched on what I was going to say. I'm going to break the segment. It isn't just WWE and AEW that's picking up business. I think everyone is. I mean, look, if you look at the free agency market, you got guys like Mustafa Ali out here blowing up TNA. TNA pretty much literally.
And Nick Nemeth.
I was getting him, Nick Nemeth, who's pretty much bouncing between here in Japan and GCW and TNA, pretty much blowing up like you was at TNA itself with their new partnership has actually got business. AEW, we just saw you covered that. WWE, they also picked up. You got guys like MLW who are starting to do some damage right now. They're bringing Raven back.
Right. Even New Japan.
Or the War Chamber. That's going to be fine.
Exactly.
Even New Japan's got Jack Perry out there. Like, you're doing it, Jack.
Exactly.
You're
doing Jack, it. Perry, Jack Perry, who's back with the House of Brutality. Was it House of Brutality? No.
House of Torture.
House of Torture. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Rhea. Something
BDSM. I don't remember which one.
But even New Japan's starting to blow up. And it's like, literally, like, they're expanding their horizons now. Because I'm telling you right now, the New Japan Pro Wrestling app is just delightful. There ain't nothing but ass whoopings.
If you don't know why Okada is getting a title shot, I don't know what to tell you, Temple. Why he's getting a title shot? Because he's Okada.
I understand Temple's argument. There is an argument.
He might have one less title to take from Eddie after Mark Briscoe is done with him, but he's still getting a title shot.
I do understand we had this conversation last week, so I do understand why.
But yeah, reiterate. Why is he getting a shot? Because he's Okada. That's why. Okay. Nero just said it. He's the John Cena of fucking Japan.
Yeah. But like I said, for right
if
now,
John Cena walks into AEW, he's getting a title shot.
Yeah, John Cena walks in, he's not having a match with Aaron Solo.
Exactly.
You know? You do not need to build Kazuchika Okada up and make him go through the rankings. He is the fucking rankings. Those people should have to beat Kazuchika Okada to get a title shot.
And I would understand if it was a world title shot, but I mean, it's the Continental Crown.
It's world title. It's like, oh, Swerve, you really want this shot at Joe? Okay. You got to beat Okada.
Anyway, this is for me, arguably, this is the, I mean, I know we always keep going back to the Attitude Era as being the golden age of pro wrestling. I think this officially is probably the actual, like, true golden age, because, like, every franchise itself right now is promotion right now is actually starting. It's finding an avenue to be public, which is, I think, is probably the best part about wrestling right now. I mean, and let's face it, competition breeds excellence.
Yeah.
We don't like using that word sometimes with things, but let's face it, there is a clear, like, every company is in competition with each other.
Hold up. How many of us said we checked out during that time period after WCW and ECW folded because the shit got stale?
Yeah.
And when did we check back in? When TNA jumped in, right?
Mm-hmm.
TNA saved it for me. TNA and Ring of Honor.
You can try to pretend like this isn't a thing, but guys, it's a fucking thing. And you know what else needs to be a thing? I'm sorry I missed this because we were laughing. How is Mr. Perfect not in the Hall of Fame?
He's not.
I thought he was.
He's not.
How is he not? Well, if the chef's saying it, the chef knows.
Well, that may have been because the old regime was still pissed at him when he passed away.
I don't give a flying fat rat ass, man. He's Kurt fucking Hennig.
I'm sure they were still pissed at Randy Savage too, and them motherfuckers in. So
and they put him in. And he's Stephanie, for Christ's sake.
Did they haven't put China in either. China hasn't been put in individually either.
Well, that's because, you know, Steph.
Exactly. Like I'm saying, don't say it.
You can plow Steph, but you can't plow Steph's man. There's a difference.
What? There are a bunch of people who should probably be in there. And probably
Stephanie, if you're watching this, that's a double standard. You created the women's evolution. You can't have this double standard. Put China in.
I mean, honestly, she deserves a solo entry. But like I said, it's one of those, it's a politics thing for her. Like,
it is not debate of the week on this show. She belongs in the Hall of Fame. Sorry, I had to go back to that because we were laughing over something Pepsi Phil.
Yeah, but like I said, honestly, the truth of the matter is, it's like everyone's doing better than we have been probably since the Attitude Era. And honestly, in my opinion, now that we got rid of the Attitude Era aesthetic formed by because of one man's internal like perversions,
Venereal Kink McNugget, goddammit.
Exactly. We actually get real wrestling between the individual. So, I mean, honestly, can you imagine if Lucha Underground was still around right now?
Yeah, even Temple brought that up just now, and I miss Lucha Underground like the desert misses the fucking rain, y'all.
Because Lucha Underground right now would literally be probably in a higher place than MLW is.
100%. Oh, absolutely. We can't bring back Lucha Underground, but at least we can get Vampiro versus Penta 2.
If we're lucky.
Bring back Wrestling Society X. It's
almost yes. Like.
That right there. Yes, we could do that. That's not under any copyrights. We can do that.
So I got reminded of a wrestling promotion that most people don't know. Also
dickheads.
Exactly. That's most people don't remember. And honestly, you're supposed to not remember it. But remember Wrestlelicious?
Kurt Hennig was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
He was.
Okay.
Okay.
When I saw Brian said it, I was like, how is he not? Like,
yeah, I mean, shit, that's a huge name to not have in the Hall of Fame. If you don't want to put in his WWE work, his AWA work was Hall of Fame worthy alone.
Thank you, Cyber Yeti. Jesus, that makes me feel a whole lot better.
Yeah, that country versus rap gimmick he had was
against Master P and the No Limit Soldiers.
We hate rap. Rap is crap. Oh, what's my God. Oh,
man.
But him
this
with
is what
Bobby
we're booking now, WCW. Really, this is what we're doing. No wonder you went under. And fuck.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, him and Bobby Heenan were amazing together.
Mm. Yeah, nah, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So, speaking of business picking up, let's talk about business picking up in the ring. 24 hours ago, maybe a little less, but 24 hours ago for AEW Collision, the opening matchup was none other than a dream matchup: Katsuyori Shibata versus the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. This matchup was amazing. As soon as I saw that they announced this, I was watching Rampage and they just announced this on the screen below. And I was like, wait, what the fuck? We're having this matchup on fucking not only on Collision, but it's going down tomorrow. I was very excited. I was surprised that it was the opening match, but go ahead.
If they're trying to make Collision relevant, this is the way you do it.
No, I agree. They've been doing dream matches on Collision for a long time. I think Collision is. In my opinion, like a lot of people, you know, might not agree with this. It is a hot take, but I always felt like since Collision started, Collision is the better show. It's the more fun show to watch than Dynamite. But I think that this matchup was amazing. It was a dream matchup. Like Bryan Danielson said, later on in the show, just a couple years ago, Bryan Danielson nor Shibata were even wrestling anymore. Both had career-ending injuries. Yeah. Who would have thought that this matchup would have ever happened in 2024? Not only happened, but happened to the caliber that it did. Amazing, amazing, amazing matchup. Another big victory for Bryan Danielson on his way to Dynasty for his dream match against Will Ospreay. Great shit from AEW.
I'm not going to lie. The ending, we're like sitting there, like they're bowing to each other, doing the old New Japan move at the end of it. I'm like, y'all trying to get up in my feelings right now.
Yeah, man. I got chills. Great matchup, though.
But yeah. So I was actually pretty happy with Bryan Danielson in this match.
Like, you know, right? Even, I was joking. I totally agree with that statement. It all started in TNA, and then they just,
What you have with this match is like Bryan Danielson right now is in the best place he could possibly be. He's just wrestling for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. And pretty much just having, like, he's like, I want a dream match with this guy. Why? Because I said so. Like
honestly, I'm me.
Exactly. My question is, do we even count him as a member of the Blackpool Combat Club still?
I guess. Well, later on in the show, he made the save for his Blackpool brother.
I was going to say, I guess technically, because he still gets involved in their business. But, yeah, he's a little different.
Is he, though? I mean, he's kind of one of those things like, no. I'm not with another girl. I'm still with her. I'm going to meet her now. Like, that's pretty much what he's doing. And
I'm just out having fun. I'm not doing anything with anybody else.
So Blackpool Combat Club is the side chick.
Yeah, exactly. but it's not, and honestly, good for him, man. Honestly, like you said, he came back from injury, like both of them did, but he came back from an injury and he's like, he got a new lease on life. He got another chance. WWE, for whatever reason, didn't feel like taking a chance. He's in a place where he gets to do what he wants to do. And he's had some of the most amazing matches here and in Japan. So like I said, I'm happy for him. And Shibata, I'm just glad he's okay. Like, I'm glad he's back. That injury was terrifying when I heard it over there. When I heard it come in, I was like, I am glad he's back and he's okay. Yeah. And honestly, the way any man, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't care what you say, any man kick me like that, I'm gonna punch his mama in the mouth.
None of the members of BCC can point to Blackpool on a UK map.
I mean,
that's probably true,
you
man.
You're wrong.
I mean, honestly, the one guy, hilarious.
You ain't wrong.
The one guy who could left.
You know what? And that's the thing. I definitely think that they should have changed the name from Blackpool Combat Club once the guy from Blackpool is no longer with them. I think they should at least went Combat Club, or you see, what's his name? Moxie wearing Death Jitsu. That would have been a cool name for them. But yeah. Blackpool Combat Club is dead.
So it was like
the Bloody Combat Club. I don't know. We're the Badass Combat Club. Something.
And truth be told, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm a Blackpool Combat Club. I'm a little disappointed because honestly, they really haven't put a stamp on anything. Like, there are a bunch of individuals who do the same thing, but it's like, do they feel like a real faction is my question. Like, I know they're carrying the same jackets, but do they feel like a real faction? Like, it ain't like when the Horsemen were rolled together and they just like, oh Lord, they're coming to rest them. It's just like, they don't even have the same entrance. Yuta comes out the front. Everybody else comes out the back. I mean, that's, hey,
yeah. like, that's John comes out the crowd. Everybody else comes up the ramp.
Yeah. So it's like, do they really count as a faction? No offense.
I mean, at least Claudio and Danielson's music kind of matches, because it's like, you know, classical leading into club banger.
and you got Brian Danielson out here doing the Wandering Samurai move like he did back in the day.
And Wheeler Yuta is like another famous man from Philly, the Fresh Prince, just standing there like, how come nobody want me, man?
So BCC's, as the aesthetic is great. However, the execution's a little bit lackluster right now. I mean, they had a good couple of runs, but it's like, if they're not doing anything, you're like, you guys need to do something. So it's like, honestly, we never did get our battle with them in the House of Black. That I really wanted.
Yeah.
It looked like we were going to go there.
Exactly.
No. What a talk about wasted opportunity. But yeah, it's when it comes to these two, I mean, people say like, oh, how come he doesn't act like the rest of the how come Danielson doesn't act like the rest of the Combat Club? Or how does he get these matches? You know why Brian said it? Because he's Brian fucking Danielson. The greatest wrestler in the world next to Okada, who gets the title shot because he's elite and he's great. There's your story, by the way, Temple. Don't think I'm not watching the comments. So it's and then I saw what happened to Shibata. Like, not live, but I watched it after the fact on the and oh my God. Like, I can't express the amount of like concern, sadness I had seeing that. And then I see him come back, and it feels like every time he gets in the ring, he's dropped on his damn head like 900 times. And I'm like, dude, no, stop, please. No, no. It's like Sting. I'm like, protect Shibata. These two are two of the greatest, most technical, most brutal, beautiful fucking wrestlers on from their respective continents. Put them together in one ring. Like, sadly, I didn't get to see the match. I had some personal stuff I had to attend to Saturday night. Didn't get home till late. Was passing out when I saw Temple live on Instagram. So I can't wait to go back and fucking watch this shit. I'm sure it was a banger. I'm sure these two put each other through hell. I don't even care who wins. You know who's going to win? Me, because I'm going to see it. That's who. Mm-hmm. That's who. The prediction champ. He wins.
Nah, definitely. I think it was a great matchup. But this is the debate center, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to debate.
Let me find the clip. Let me find the clip. Where the fuck
we're going to have to debate. Oh. We don't even have a... Let me create a banner for this one right here.
It's time, as always, for Debate of the Week.
Now, all the wrestling fans are about to check out right now.
This is gonna be fun, y'all. This is gonna be fun.
Because, and I'm going to admit I'm not the most knowledgeable football fan, but I do know that I'm from New York. I do know that I just moved to New Jersey, and I am about 20 minutes away from MetLife Stadium. And I do know that I have a Saquon Barkley jersey right there. And I do know that the Giants is rivals to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that Saquon Barkley was their best player and he is now an Eagle is bullshit. Say you, Dom.
Okay, first of all, you might think it's bullshit, but here's the problem. And I'm not even going to go into my team because I'm so glad he's here, but that's beside the point. You already know that. Your Giants did Saquon dirty as fuck. Because go back to last year, and he was coming up on a contract along with that crappy-ass quarterback y'all got. And they gave that crappy-ass quarterback all kinds of money. And then they were like, oh, Saquon, you get the franchise tag. Which is fine. Except if you get hurt, you don't get no money. If you don't play, you don't get paid. Okay, go ahead. And the man tried to push himself through several injuries to keep getting his money, which he earned, which he deserved. Yeah, I used the word. And meanwhile, your crappy-ass quarterback goes out for the season, gets every dime he got on his contract. And then the following year comes up, and they're not like, yeah, you were our whole offense on a crap team, and our quarterback didn't show up. You know what? We'll give you a contract. They're like, go test free agency. We don't care. We don't care. So, oh, is that how it's going to be? Let me call Howie Roseman, the Eagles GM, real quick. Hey, you want me? Yeah, of course you do. How much? All right, I'll be there next week. Click.
I mean, once again, I don't know much about football, but Saquon Barkley as an Eagle is bullshit.
Because.
I haven't been following it that closely, but I basically keep it. It's the same thing I always say. If Saquon got hurt, the Giants would not give a fuck. So don't be mad because he left. The man left because he was trying to take care of himself in a system that did not love him.
Right, so even if Barber talking shit about him on a podcast. Exactly. Look at this. He got the jersey. Oh, you think you're the only one that can do that? Where's this closet?
All right. Anyway, the long and short of it is Saquon was like, fuck these hoes, I'm getting paid. And he wants to be appreciated. And I don't know why everybody's mad at him. If you were with someone who didn't care about you, was giving their others, treating you like the side chick in the main relationship, would you stick around? No. You would leave. And let's face it, Saquon.
Rival, though.
Yes. Is it a little petty? Yes. Do he care? No. He out here trying to teach people lessons. That's like when your girl have sex with your best friend and teach you a lesson. That's all it is.
That's
what it is.
That's a little bit extreme. But at the same time, I get what he's at. Like, if I'm going to be this good at this much of this team, and you're not going to offer me a contract, then I'm going to find a way to spite you as hard as I possibly can. Exactly. And nothing stings worse than saying, I'm going across the way to your division rival who went to a Super Bowl 2 years ago and is stocking up on talent right now as we speak, because it's not even like they stopped with Saquon. They signed everybody. They went and traded the Steelers for Kenny Pickett so they could have a backup quarterback. We're like, fuck, we might need him. Who knows? Right now, the Eagles give no fucks, man. They're just like, we got to retool this whole shit because we fell the fuck apart, and we are not doing that 2 years in a row. Meanwhile, the Giants, it's just like every time you turn around, there's another head coach, another general manager, another regime change. I mean, shit, their defensive coordinator threw some fucking rant and did like the half-baked shit on the way out the door. He went, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you're cool, and fuck you, I'm out. Bam! And just left. And they were like, well, I guess we're releasing him. No, that motherfucker quit. Okay?
Here's my thing. You're only pissed because Saquon's a great player. If y'all knew he was a great player, why didn't y'all treat him better?
Yeah.
I treated him amazing.
You did. Your team did not.
Yeah, no.
And don't get me wrong. I agree. I'm a Saquon fan, okay? Because my mom and my grandfather were huge fans of Penn State, made me huge fans of Penn State. And seeing Saquon at Penn State, I was like, oh, this dude is a beast. I hope we get him. And then the draft comes up, and the Giants were like two picks ahead of us. Two. Mm-hmm. And they took Saquon Barkley. I was like, you motherfucking shit. Goddamn. Oh, you suck a fucking dick and die. Goddamn.
I mean, I'll say this. It was so bad. The recruitment was so good. Jason Kelce was like, maybe I can do one more year.
Right? Maybe I could come back. But I'm serious. Draft day, and I heard Saquon Barkley get drafted by the Giants. I'm sitting there like, fuck! Fuck! So this just feels right.
I mean, keep in mind, this is also, like I said, we still got a long way to go. Remember, the season ain't even started yet, so
yeah,
we'll see how it goes.
Oh, Pepsi Cab confession. It's a little too early for X videos. Yeah,
I have no idea what that means.
Temple, fly, Eagles, fly.
Mm-hmm. Ah, Temple. Football is soccer to you, bro. Anyway, so there you have it, folks. The first debate here on the Debate Center.
Mm-hmm. That was it.
Definitely a good show.
It had to be done. It had to be done. It was fun to do. We will probably do it again. I was just about to click that. Thank you, homie. See, it's all love. It's just, you know. Just a Giants fan debate. Feels differently than an Eagles fan does about that.
I definitely do. I mean, this shit might get put on fire today. I don't know. Anyway,
I can't wait for their first meeting.
Can I have it? No,
I'll spray paint. That first meeting's gonna be crazy. And yeah,
I'll spray paint it green and put an Eagles logo on it.
But definitely a great show with a lot of great topics and great laughs. I appreciate you guys.
No, this was so much fun, guys. Mm-hmm. Thank you to my family on screen. Thank you to everybody in the live chat that came out for this festive St. Paddy's Day special. Thank you to all the people that have been riding with us. If you haven't, please, please smash the like, hit subscribe, even ring the bell so we ain't got to be all over social media telling us you're coming. You'll know when we're here. Mm-hmm. Why we got to do all the work? Do something for us. It's a bell. Click it.
Yep. Nah, most definitely. And everybody, make sure you check out Russ and DeLorean podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on all audio platforms, and Raw Dogger with De Niro every Monday at 10:30 Eastern, the last 30 minutes of Monday Night Raw. We also got a lot more watch alongs coming, so stay tuned for all that. A lot of big shit happened on my side. I'm very excited to show it all to the world, but I love you all.
Have a good one.
Take care, yeah.
Bye. Where's the video?